Well, my goodness, my goodness. It is June the 23rd, which means it's 6:23. And we all know what Romans 6:23 says. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, there's a problem, but there's also an answer. And Jesus is also always the answer. Hello, friends. Pastor Troy Brewer coming at you strong here from the studios at Open Door Church in the midst of Vacation Bible School. So if you hear like a bomb going off, that's not some Muslim terrorist. That is just simply Vacation Bible School. And that's taking place behind us. And that's a lot of fun. And then also, I got to tell you, I am back. It is episode number 157. I'm back from Washington, D.C. And I'm going to be giving you guys an update. I'm going to be giving you a brief synopsis of the cure for rescuing children here in the United States. I know what it is. I know how to do it. And now, guys, we have friends in D.C. that are actually working with us towards that. It's really good. Also, I have my son, Benjamin Allen Brewer, is going to be joining me here as he just got back from Mexico City. And wait till you hear these stories. Guys, it's so good to see you here today. And I would like to say, let's get started. So, hello, Ms. Shea.
Hello. How are you, Pastor?
I'm good.
Good?
Oh, I am.
I'm glad.
You know all the hard stuff I'm
you got a lot.
There's
shoulders.
A lot going on today, but I got a lot of good news. Yeah. I got a lot of good news. The Spirit of the Lord is with us, and I praise God, and Jesus is with us in a really big way, and there's tremendous breakthroughs.
Yeah.
I'm literally looking at my phone believing that there's going to be a big breakthrough today in a certain area, and every few minutes I just check my phone and just see if it's happened yet. You know, if it does or if it doesn't, the timing is the Lord's. And that's what Mark chapter 4 says. It says that when a man sows a field, it says this, he doesn't know how it comes up or when it's going to come up. But first this little part, then that little part, then this little part. But when a certain thing happens, he knows how to thrust in the sickle immediately and bring in the harvest. And I am a thrust in the sickle immediately guy.
Totally.
And so I'm just always waiting for the, okay, it's sprouting. Okay, its stalk is there. Okay, it's starting to bear fruit. Boom, it's time. Gaga, let's go.
Yeah.
And so I'm anxious to do that. I'm always a little bit anxious to do that.
And in the meantime, you're still eyes on the prize working amidst that. You're not just sitting around waiting for it to hit. You're not just sitting around waiting for that seed to, you know, show its fruit. It's we're all full steam ahead.
Waiting on the Lord does not mean sitting around. It means being an active participant and serving, just like your waiter at the restaurant.
Yep.
Waiting around doesn't make a waiter a waiter. Being an active participant in serving is what makes you a waiter on the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
amen.
Good stuff.
That's so good.
All right. What do you got today?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that we have a special guest joining us in the studio as well. Do you want to bring him in now, or do you want to make him wait a little
excited.
Longer?
I'm trying.
I think our ODX fam for sure is going to be excited because he's a familiar face.
Yeah, he's a familiar face. He's been around as long as this ministry's been around. So we've had the food bank for 35 years. We've had the church for 30 years. This brother's 35 years old, and he's here with us today, Mr. Benjamin Allen Brewer.
I'm back.
I love that.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. How
good
are you, buddy?
I'm good. About you?
Last time I saw you was at 10:30 at night last night.
That is correct.
So I was down by the barn. I got this thing called the Beacon. If I turn on the second story, which, by the way, I think the lights are out on it. I think we left it out last time. We're going to have to change out those lights. You got to check those for me whenever we get home. By the way, are you going
to
feed all the animals for me today?
No.
Because I'm not going to get home until really late. So anyway, my last meeting is at 5 o'clock today. So I need you to help me. I need you to go feed all my animals. Anyway, Ben actually lives next door to me. And if I turn on the barn lights upstairs, we call that the Beacon. And if he looks out at night and sees that, it means that I'm in the barn watching a movie because I got this place set up. It's one of the best places to watch a movie in the world. And Ben's always got a new movie for me to watch. Dad, let's watch this. So I didn't have that light on last night, but I was on the phone for a very long time. And when I got home from D.C., I went to the barn, fully intending to go in the barn and just veg, turn on the television.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go in there and I turn on music on my television. And then I just start going through my phone and just start answering everything. And that might take 2 or 3 hours, you know, to go through all my texts for the day. And while I was sitting out there, my bright lights was shining through the trees at the house. And I was talking on the phone, and he said, "Hey, is that the Beacon?" And I said, "Sure." So
you said, "Come on, bring it."
Yeah,
you
said,
okay, come on, bring it.
So he comes down on the Polaris. He comes down on a 4-wheeler. I can see him way up on the hill. He comes pulling up. I stay on the phone for at least another 30, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he's eating the best summer sausage he thinks on the planet Earth, which he just killed an all dad out at Redemption Ranch. Wow. And the guy made summer sausage out of it. Now, listen.
That what you were carrying on Sunday when you walked?
Yeah.
The frozen okay, listen, big
you make fun of people that eat all dad because it's a nasty old goat.
It's a goat? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nasty old goat. And, dude, we all make fun of people that would dare to eat an all dad. It's like eating an armadillo. Okay.
I didn't know that. It
so, but with that said, he found a guy that makes outstanding summer sausage out of all that. And he's like, Dad, you got to try this. It's crazy. And so anyway, I finished with all of that and it was like 10:45, I think, something like that. Yeah. And I told him, it's too late at night. I got my first meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. I actually had a phone meeting at 8 this morning all the way in. And I was like, I'm not going to stay up all night watching a movie with you, man. I just can't do it. Like, I'm sorry you came all the way down here. I need you to go home, depart from my premises, be gone with you. And so here we are again.
Yes.
Yes. Splendid. Brother. Yes. Also here with me today is Miss Rebecca Tamayo.
Yes, Pastor.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I see there's people all over the planet. There Who is. Else here today?
We have multiple people from South Africa. We have Marcus Sky 9821 from South Africa. We have Liz from South Africa. We have Canada in the house. Adele. Canada. We have Mary Elaine from California. We have Tina from Kansas City. We have Lisa Bennett from Illinois. Jackie from Illinois. We have Kathy Riggs from Georgia. Debbie Smith from Alabama. Thank you all who have tuned in. Don't forget to comment. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to send all the fun emojis to let us know also where you're watching from. And if it's your first time, please let us know. Ben, I, or Pastor Tora Shea might be able to give you a shout out. Don't forget that. And anytime you need prayer on the Pulse, you can call our call center, which is available 24/7 at 877-413-0888. And you're not going to want to miss this. You don't know who might be needing today's word. We got Las Vegas in the house. We got
England
in the house.
Deborah Danique 2861 from England, man. I bless you. I call you blessed. And
I'm glad people in England are listening.
Yeah, me too. We're so happy you are. Thank you so much, man.
Yes.
So I know that we're also going to do some other shout outs, Ms. Shea. What do you have?
So guys, if you are watching on YouTube, mm-hmm. we have been amping up our members only content. So you can be a subscriber on our YouTube channel, and we're so thankful for every single person who is, mm-hmm. but we're making a special charge for people to actually become members. And it's like a nominal fee. I think it's around $4 or $5, and you get access to a bunch of exclusive content. Just this morning, we did a behind the scenes, basically as Pastor Troy was doing an interview for a show.
It was a great show.
Really, really good.
I mean, it's one of the best shows we've done in a long time.
Yeah, and it's going to air tonight.
At five.
We're going to share out the link 4 p.m. Central Time.
Correct.
5 p.m. Eastern. We'll be sharing out the link for that.
His Glory Television.
Glory TV. Yep.
Which is great. And they have over 2.5 million Facebook followers.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Ben? Crazy.
Sorry, I was taking a nap. What?
Never mind.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, listen, guys, that being said, for our members only community, we're doing a bunch of behind the scenes exclusive content. So I want to give some shout outs to some new members who have joined us. SP, Just Do the Right Thing. Thank you so much for joining. Linda P6D7Q. What's up? Thank you so much for being a member. Shirley Hall, Gary Montgomery, Jackie Ritchie, Teresa Morgan, Kathy Bowden, and so many more. Thank you for becoming a YouTube member, and we're going to be doing our best to load up more and more content there, as well as our ODX Stage 3 members. We're going to put some of it on there as well. So thank you guys for how you stand with us, because just even becoming a member, that helps us to monetize our YouTube further, which helps us to rescue more kids and do the work that we're doing all across the globe.
Well, so it's an introductory way, man, to actually partner with us, because it really and truly is partnership. Mm-hmm. So that money doesn't go to me. That money goes into the coffers of Troy Brewer Ministries. And then, man, we use that to rescue and to raise kids. And one of the ways that we rescue kids all over the world, I get asked this question all the time. How do you guys do this? What exactly is the procedure? Man, it's so different. Like, there's a guy right now that is in El Paso, and he's here locally. He is a rescuer that we actually fund. And he actually goes and does all the intel and then works with local police if they're willing to work with him, which is a whole other issue that we're trying to solve here in the state of Texas. And this guy's 22 for 22 for Amber Alerts in the state of Texas since January the 1st. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. 22 for 22? Are you kidding me? With that said, he's out there right now. We fund those kinds of guys, and then we do that. And then we got to walk it through and make sure that they get in the right systems. How we do this all over the world is various different ways. We work with governments. We have our own teams of operators. We have our own rescuers. And then we do a work like in the Dominican Republic. We do not have boots on the ground in Dominican Republic. There is a ministry team that has been there for a long time rescuing kids. They actually train law enforcement. They're an awesome group. We have not given their name and won't give their name until they tell us it's good to do that, yeah. But to be able to protect them, because we don't want those guys getting killed and taking on the cartels and the traffickers. But we have supported two of their operations. It's our first time to ever do anything within the Dominican Republic. We're actually considering partnering with them in a huge way, taking our rescuers over there to cross-pollinate with their rescuers and see if there's something that we can do together on a much more massive scale. But if that's all we did was just rescue rescuers and support operations, that's a really big deal. This last month, we did two operations in the Dominican Republic, rescued, I think it was 62.
Yeah, 62.
It was 62 one time, and then it was 8 the next time. Yep. So it was a total of 76 is what I as well.
Yeah, it was in the 70s, that number.
Yeah, it was 70-something. Mm-hmm. And they did two up, so they obviously know what they're doing. And I want to show you guys, I did a post yesterday, and I put this out there. Now, it's just, hey, busted for trafficking. These men and women were responsible for the buying and selling of helpless human beings who didn't have a voice. Their time of overseeing the slavery, torture, and hopeless abuse for fast cash is over because the body of Jesus pushed back and said no more. Many were arrested and over 62 set free. Way to go, Team Jesus. Awesome. And so I think the number is 16 people were arrested, but I'll verify that, and I think so.
Yeah.
But one of the big things, we put that out yesterday. We've had 170,000 views just on Facebook of this because people want to know that people are going to jail over this.
Yeah.
And one of the main things that I've got is, why are you protecting these clowns? And with a lot of haters going, that's ridiculous. You should never cover their faces. Okay, I didn't do that. Now, I need to explain this to you.
Yeah.
Okay? These pictures came to me like this. And so these are the pictures that I have to offer. I would put them on a milk jug. I would put them all over the place.
To be publicly
but this
ashamed.
Is how they come, and this is how we work with other agencies that we are supporting. Is we rely on them for the pictures for us to report back to you guys that we're actually doing what it is we promised we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And these people, this is how they came to me. So all you haters and all you dim-witted knuckleheads are saying you're here to protect. Yeah, right. I'm here to protect traffickers. Really, I've dedicated my life for 30 freaking years of rescuing kids all over the world. I mortgaged my house 7 times. I've prosecuted more than 17,000 people throughout the world and sent them to prison for a lifetime. Yeah, I don't think that anybody can say that I'm here to protect traffickers. That is actually offensive to me. And I also want to say this as well. I like to say this. You wouldn't say that to my face. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, you wouldn't get away with it. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that. Yeah, so there you go. I mean, why not? Why not? This is how the pictures came to me, and I'm doing the best to report and to give testimony of how the body of Jesus is actually making a big difference. So that's what that is. Mm-hmm. No reason for you to accuse me of protecting traffickers.
Yeah, and a lot like these are active things happening right now. As you were saying, we try to share as much as we can up front to be as open with you guys. But like this is not a movie. Like I know sometimes it sounds like a movie, but this is real stuff happening.
Yeah,
and so we have to also we're working with law enforcement. We're working with all these.
What everybody thinks is everybody thinks that rescuing children is the really cool, sexy stuff of kicking down the door.
Yeah,
that is 30 seconds. Of sometimes years worth of work and heartbreak and intelligence and filming and documenting. And it takes so much money and it takes so much patience and it takes a long time because they all got to be under the same roof. Mm-hmm. They all got to be under the same roof.
You got to have the evidence in order to make the bust happen.
Yeah. And then, and then it has to stick. And then it has to go before a judge that is not a Democrat or a liberal. Because they will set these jokers free, and they will not bring justice to our kids. Liberals are the same all throughout the world. They're exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And there's so much work. In order to do it right, there's so much work. And so there's little bitty tiny pieces. What came to us, I have to trust the organization that sent me this and go, hey, this case is pending, and this is in a different nation, and we couldn't show their faces. Okay, well, you got to trust that.
Yeah.
And I would like to be able to trust the general public that sees our posts that you're smart enough to be able to understand that there's a lot more to it than what goes on in the movies. I promise you. Mm.
And we got to walk it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about them apples? What's the
How
matter,
about
Ben?
Them apples?
I'm just enjoying the fact you're all riled up.
I get riled up. Yeah. I get riled up. I honestly, God, just in dealing with haters, like, well, hey, listen, if you're going to be in media, you got to be able to deal with haters. And mm-hmm. I generally deal with haters very mm-hmm. well, don't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm kind of a pro at it. I kind of, mm-hmm. and it kind of fires me up. But now that I've said that, how quick Christians will jump in the spirit of a liberal idiot and go, yeah, that makes me ask questions too. And then start, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
Mm. Yeah.
Like the spirit of that little black box that is in your hand, man, you better be full of the Holy Spirit or you're going to end up on the wrong team. And you might be able to get away with that with your little really cool blue-haired and green-haired. Anyway, you might be able to get away with that group, but you won't get away with that standing before the Lord. And I would fear the Lord.
Say it, Troy.
Come on, Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph knows.
Say it.
I know. Listen, man, like all the haters that come against Joseph, mm-hmm. all those haters, they don't have the testosterone to be able to go into a room and close the door and say, I think you're a bad guy. Thank you. All they have, they can lift their little fingers,
keyboard
though.
Warriors.
Oh, I'm such a mighty warrior. I'm so awesome. I want to tell you, man, you're going to fool around and you're going to find out one of these days. And you're going to get in the wrong room with the wrong man of God who is not afraid of you. And so, just FYI.
FYI. Word to the wise. Yep. Well, word character. I said to you earlier, character and integrity speaks for itself, and it goes before you. And Pastor Word, just so you know, and this goes for Joseph Z, too. We are proud to be on your team, to be fighting with you, to be together in this battle mm-hmm. with you. And to be surrounded by amazing men of God, like true men of God.
Thank you.
And yeah, we don't take it lightly.
Well, thank you. Well, I don't take it lightly either. And sometimes I just get, I'm a little bit fragged because I just got back from DC.
Yeah.
And the meeting at DC went very well, working very closely with the AFPI. And everybody needs to look up the AFPI.
Awesome. Rylon,
America First Policy Institute.
Yep.
Aww. And they're absolutely amazing human beings that are doing so many great things. I encourage everybody to look off into the AFPI. Mm-hmm. I also encourage you guys to support them. Mm-hmm. They are there. They are boots on the ground in D.C. making sure that the policies benefit freedom-loving people and the freedom of Americans. It also benefit the body of Christ. And I thank God for them. And
your suit looks good too, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks great.
You like that suit, man?
Pastor Troy, you and Leanna both look so awesome.
Well, Leanna always looks good, mm-hmm. man. She's so cool. She's such a good girl.
And your new boots.
Yeah, those are some new boots, right on. and so anyway, man, but we were there, and the antidote, or I should say the cure to being able to rescue kids in the United States needs to be presented, and I'm doing my best to present what that is. And let me tell you what we need a cure of. The bureaucracy in the United States of America in fighting trafficking is so great, it does not allow normal people to fight trafficking and to rescue kids. It only allows CPS system to do that. And the CPS system is a broken and corrupt system. And I'm not speaking ill about, you know, people who work hard in those systems, but the system itself, it's like swimming in a septic tank. Mm-hmm. It is the worst polluted. It is. I have a holy hatred for it. I have a holy hatred for the whole CPS system. Mm-hmm. And it is the only system in the entirety of the United States that you are allowed to rescue and raise trafficked kids in. And some of the best people in the world are in that system. Some of the worst people on the planet Earth are in that system. Mm-hmm. And it is governed from state to state. It's not federally governed. It's governed from state to state, which means if you have a liberal governor and you have a liberal appointee to that position, it's all about a leftist agenda, which means the worst sexual people in the world get to adopt kids. The people that are obviously have a mental illness about them. And the people that obviously are sexual perverts, they get kids. Christian families do not get kids. And in the midst of that, nobody gets a license for any kid that has the term trafficking attached to them. They go into a system, and since there are no licenses anywhere, then what happens is they spend 30 days at a time, and they're, guys, there's so untold hundreds of thousands of children in America in the system that have the term trafficking attached to them, and they go from house to house to house because nobody is allowed to have a license for that. Like, what are you talking about? Four different agencies you got to go through in order to have a home for trafficked kids. And the criteria for it is virtually impossible. Like, I don't think it's that impossible. Then why are there only 700 beds in all of the nation? You have to be a corporation with funding of millions and millions of dollars to be able to take these kids in. And guys, it's not the role of government, and it's not the role of corporations to raise these children. It is the role of the body of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the church needs to step up, but the church needs to be set free to step up. And that's what I'm taking to DC, and I'm showing them the incredible process and how impossible it's actually designed to be impossible, so that these kids end up back. Well, they end up in Austin, Texas, or they end up in Houston, or they just end up San Antonio or some other place where there's a bunch of, you know, soy milk drinking, limp wristed leadership that is there. And then what ends up happening is they're like, oh, this child needs to be turned over to their custodial parents. Well, their custodial parents are the people that sell them into trafficking, or they are the traffickers themselves.
Yeah.
And so, no, they don't. What they need is, I need them. Yeah. The body of Jesus needs them. Families need them. Good, godly families that love America and love Jesus with all their heart. They need them. And we are the last people in the world that they will ever turn these kids over to. So there needs to be a bunch of us in D.C. that are insistent that they do, that we expose their perverse agenda. We expose them for who they are, and we get them out of positions of power. And these are the same people that rant and say, Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. To hell with you, devil. To hell with that spirit that sent you. There's a place in hell for that spirit. We will be involved. We will be the people that God has called us to be. We will accept the assignment, and we're going after it, and I don't care.
Yeah. I love it. We're in the fight. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're in the fight together.
No, man. I'm in the fight. We're you guys are in the fight. All of my partners are all in the fight together, and we're killing it. Ben?
Yep.
As sad as it is to say, you're in the fight as well.
There's a fight happening?
Okay, that's what I thought. Ben's not in the fight.
Ben is in the fight. He was just in the fight in Mexico City.
That's exactly right.
Or was it Mexico City, or was it Acuna?
Toluca.
Just sorry, I forget. We're like all over Mexico.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And you just had an amazing trip.
What I did. Wow. I did 153 quinceañeras at the same time.
That's crazy.
Okay, so tell me about these girls. Because when I first got this, I thought it was 153 kids that we had rescued, and it's not.
No.
We actually didn't. So, which I'm so blown away at, because this never happens.
Yeah.
We're talking about an awesome woman of God who is the governor's wife. Mm-hmm. She's actually the, El Presidente Municipal's esposa.
Yep.
The wife.
Yep.
And so that's who she is. She's in charge of the protection of the children.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she's like the czar of the protection of the children within her state. And she's the one that is out there rescuing these kids.
She is.
And I'm not used to that. So I just assumed that we had rescued them, because we've rescued over 600 kids this year so far. And I thought that was, so I misreported that whenever that first happened. But then I also assumed that we bought all of their dresses.
We did not.
So who bought their dresses?
She did.
See, wow. This is a woman.
The city of Toluca.
This is somebody we got to help.
Yeah, and that's what's so amazing.
Come on, that's crazy. How many people were at this quinceañera?
There was over 3,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
And there was like 8 or 9 news stations there, too.
Were you on the news the whole time you were down there? What'd you do? You get on there and you just go, hello, my name is Ben Brewer. I helped! Is that what you did, did you do something else? What did you do?
He represented us well.
He did.
I bet he did.
I know you did.
That's the abuse I get.
Oh, whatever. Listen, he's way meaner to me than I am of him. This is our love language, by the way.
You have no proof.
It's real.
So I do have proof.
So
I got scars to prove it.
Okay.
Wow.
So one of the really cool things that we got to do is obviously we work with governments all over the world, and most of them are really, really good to us. The city of Toluca and the government there honored us in a way that I've never seen any other government honor us.
Wow.
They pulled us in all the pictures. They let everybody know that we were there, what we're doing, how we're helping them. They spent, I don't know, probably the mayor or the governor himself spoke for probably about 45 minutes to the news, and then he spoke about us for at least 20 of that.
No way.
I mean, he talks so good about us the entire time. The governor of Toluca is just amazing.
Wow.
The governor and his wife are some of the best people that I know, and their teams. Their teams are amazing. They're awesome. So what happened is the governor's wife found out that a lot of the girls there didn't have money for quinceañera. So she's like, okay, well, we can put that on and it'd be like 20 or 30. Well, it quickly got up to 150. She's like, all right, well, we can pay for the dresses and we can pay for the food and catering and all that stuff. But really, we really need help with the father-daughter dance. And we also really need help with buying the last child's gift. Is that what you call it?
Yeah that's the dolls, right? Yeah,
the last doll.
How do you say it in Spanish?
Muñeca.
Okay. Muñeca.
Did you buy the muñeca?
That's good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
I bet they were gorgeous.
For 153.
Wow. They were beautiful, beautiful dolls.
They were. I brought some home and then my mom gave them away. So.
Aww, yeah. Good.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. Like, so I wanted to see
that's what your mom does.
I know. Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, sweet.
That's what she does. But so we got to give away all 153 away those last child's doll, whatever doll, it is.
Yeah.
And man, one of the coolest parts is how many special needs kids that there were there. Because it wasn't just girls that are turning 15. It was some that hadn't had a quinceañera.
Yeah.
And they're all special needs, like be it they're in wheelchairs, be it they have Down syndrome, be it whatever. There's probably about a good 30 of them. And they're all over the age of 15. They were somewhere between like 16 to 20. And so
there was a beautiful 19-year-old girl, mm-hmm. and we actually have pictures of you dancing with her. But first, let me show the picture of you and her together. So you should have that picture over there,
Ben,
Josh.
And the girl. Yeah. Yes. And Brandy, who looks beautiful, by the way. There.
Right on. So
looks stunning.
So there's a stunningly beautiful 19-year-old girl. She has Down syndrome. She's a hobbit.
She is.
I mean.
She's adorable.
Good Lord. She's like 4 foot nothing. And she's a 19-year-old girl. So tell us a story about her.
So her mom and dad died because the cartel came in. Attacked him and ended up killing him. Wow. So the grandparents are actually took over for her and are actually taking care of her now. And so when they found out like last minute that we're doing this quinceañera for the entire community. And so they brought her up there. They called up there the day before and said, hey, is there any way we can sneak her in and do this? And they're like, yeah, no problem. So we got her all set up, got her that beautiful dress. And then she came up there and I got to dance with her. It was a ton of fun.
I got a picture of you dancing with her here. You guys check this out. Look at this. Come on, Ben.
Love it.
And look at that suit you're wearing, man.
Thank you.
You're such a good looking
boy. You clean up well.
I try not to, but you know.
He tried not to.
You're looking. So here's, I want you guys to watch this. Hey, put the camera on Ben for me here.
Here we go.
Here we go. You grab your cheeks.
He's a good boy.
Kitty,
he's a
good boy.
Oh, my God. Ben.
Yeah, he's ever since he's a little boy, he's always loved that. I would literally grab him when he's a little boy, and he was beautiful. It wasn't until he's like 15 he started getting butt ugly. But when he was little, man, he was beautiful. And I'd give him by his cheeks, and I'd say, you're a good boy, you're a good boy. And he'd reach up and grab my beard. He was a little bitty guy, like a two-year-old, and he'd say, kitty, 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 kitty. That's what, I don't know why he did that. But it always cracked me up.
We all know.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm proud of you, buddy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you, and I love you, and I'm just so proud of you. And you took your wife and you took your kids down there.
I did.
What was that experience like for your kids, my grandchildren?
Branch has decided he's moving down there.
Yep.
He goes, Dad, I'm learning Spanish, and I'm moving down here. And he's like, why are you going to move down here? He's like, I love the people, and I love the food.
What else do I need? And this is his personality. Like, the way that he says it, though, like, no. Like how you said it, Pastor. I was like, yeah, I'm going to move there. Yeah, and how exactly. Old is he?
He's 10.
He's like, no, I'm going to move there. Like,
yeah.
I just love that.
So sweet.
You can't.
He's so cute.
We live in Texas. He's like, but when I turn 18, It's like, okay.
Well, I'll 18, just say whatever. This. Joel thought he was moving to Costa Rica to find a wife. And I met him the month before he was setting to move to Costa Rica. And I said, you're not moving to Costa Rica to find a wife. Like, sorry. So, hey, something could still happen. He could maybe meet his wife and she keeps him here. Exactly. Or his wife could be in Mexico, though.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if a brewer, you know, grandkid ends up meeting their spouse through some of the work that we do. I mean, it just would make sense.
Yeah, it would not surprise me at all. I mean, we have a ton of work everywhere, so yeah. Tell them where they're going to be from.
Well, here's what I say to all that, man. You know what? This is like, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. This is what the body of Jesus is supposed to be doing. Hopefully, whenever we show you these things, we're not doing this as, you know, people accuse me of all the time on saying ugly things. Oh, you just want to show everybody how great you are. Man, we're not great at anything. This is what the body of Jesus is supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be building a ministry out of putting down other people's ministries, because that's not a ministry. Mm-hmm. That's not investigative journalism at all. That's not what that is. You're not supposed to be, you know, you're not supposed to be doing all the things that the church is famous for. And we want to put the face of the Father back on the church. And we try really hard to do that. Now, we're a lot more flawed than a lot of churches. And I admit that. And like, okay, well, that's kind of scary. No, it's not, because I don't care if we're flawed. We're not trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
We're trying to bear much fruit. Mm-hmm. And we're all just a bunch of people that love Jesus, and we love his word, and we love his kingdom, and we want to go after that in every way possible. Will any of those 153 girls that we just spent tens of thousands of dollars on going down there, doing the trip, will they ever go to our church? No. We're not doing that to get them to come to our church. We're doing that because we are the church. And if I have any impact in the body of Christ at all, that's how I want to influence people. Just be the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Just do the kingdom stuff. Be selfless about it, because the Lord will back it up, and you'll be anointed, and you'll be powerful in those places. And the Spirit of the Lord will just do crazy cool things, way more than you could ever do yourself. Awesome.
What's crazy too is we've done 155 quinceañeras in 1 year.
Wow.
155
is crazy.
It's a big deal, though.
155 girls that had a special day, a rite of passage.
I was just going to say, a rite of passage.
That is so important within that culture. And, you know, I don't presume to understand the Mexican culture. But I mean, I've been around it for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. I know what my Texas culture is, and I love my Texas culture. But I want to just tell you this. Jesus doesn't hate the world. He loves the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And he doesn't look into your humanity, and he doesn't look into my humanity and the humanity of all these people and go, oh, that's hogwash. You just need to study the Bible all day long. See, that's not how he is, because Jesus is not a Muslim. If Jesus were a Muslim, he would just be saying, read the Quran, and I'll just beat the fire out of you as a child every single time that you don't read it and say it perfectly, because that makes me feel powerful as a man. And again, if real Christian men would stand up to these punks, they'd grab their skirt and they'd run off. That's what they would do. And yeah, I'm actually in the premiere of a movie this coming Sunday. It's called Don't Sharia My Texas. It's actually called Remember the Alamo. Don't Sharia My Texas. Right on. And there it is right there. And guys, that movie is going to be premiering in Dallas. General Flynn is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Doc Chambers is going to be there. And we're going to be out there watching this movie. I have not yet seen it, but it's about standing up against the evil of Islam, the outright evil of it. And we're not going to call it cute. We're not going to call it sweet. We're not going to say, hey, inclusive, inclusive, inclusive. As a matter of fact, on Sunday, I had a very good friend of mine by the name of Martin Sedra. He was here with me. And that brother got up and preached. If you guys think I'm radical, that brother makes me look like, I don't know, like a little girl, I think.
No.
I didn't even feel like a real man when I was around him. He's so awesome. And so I want to show you guys a clip from this. Watch this.
We need men who know the word of God. If men in America knew the word, America would never be the same again. Our nation would not be the same if the men in the church knew the word. Our families would not be the same. We don't need cool dads.
That's
we need dads that know the word of God.
Come on, brother. Preach
Your
that.
Children don't need cool dads. They need praying dads.
That's exactly right.
Your children do not need cool dads. They need consecrated fathers.
Come on.
Your children do not just need cool dads. They need holy and righteous fathers who know how to lead in the fear of the Lord.
Come on, preach that, brother. Who know how to lead in the fear of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are loyal to King Jesus. And we don't care what's popular in culture. You know, we don't care what some famous Hollywood star who sold their soul to the devil. There's mm-hmm. some horrible satanic ritual. We don't care what you say or what you think. All of your kids are all transgender. Why would we follow your leadership? Why would we look to you as an example of what an American family should look like? We will look unto the Lord. God Almighty is the one who gets to define family, and he's the one who invented it. Family is God's idea, so I think I will consult him, and I think I'll walk in that. Therefore, my house is blessed. Mm-hmm. I have another clip for you from Cedra, Martin Cedra, and this whole thing I was saying as for the lead into that, and it was this. We're not saying that we're supposed to say tolerant, tolerant, tolerant. What is all that from? Listen to this.
Around the throne of God, there are angels, millions of angels singing, and the millions of angels around the throne of God in heaven, they are not singing tolerant, tolerant,
that's
tolerant,
right.
Are you God? The angels around the throne of God are not singing inclusive, inclusive,
that's right.
The angels around the throne of God are not singing nice, nice,
that's
nice,
right.
The angels around the throne of heaven on repeat day and night singing one word on repeat.
Come on, let's go. They're singing, holy, 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 holy. Amen.
God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory.
That's right. Come on, man. Dude.
Wow. All right. So fire.
It was so good. Everything that he mm-hmm. did on Sunday, on Father's Day, was killer cool. Right mm-hmm. on. Where can people find that actual sermon?
We've shared that all across our social medias, but if you're watching on YouTube, we uploaded even just his message portion to there, but we posted it. We've shared it all across X, Facebook. Again, it's on YouTube. It's all over, guys. So wherever you're watching, you can find it there. And, tune in and share it with someone because it's such a relevant message. And I feel like it was maybe in your office when I happened to walk in and you guys were having a conversation, which I think will be interesting for you to dive into a little bit more if you want to. But you were talking about, you know, the nuclear family and the enemy's attack on the family and how Islam is really part of this and how they how the Islamic the approach is to turn everything like liberal, the communities, get them liberal. And then that's the way that you get Islam in the back door, which is so crazy because Islam is not a liberal religion by any means, but they use this whole, you know, the whole liberal agenda to let them in the back door.
Yeah. They're the last ones that they kill and conquer when they take over a nation. So I heard Martin Cedric actually say this out at the NRB where he said, look, whenever you can look, throughout the past, however long that they've been around, think 1,400 years, and you can look and go, what did they do? What did they do when they came into Egypt? What did they do when they came into Somalia? What did they do when they came into Iran? What did they do when they came into Iraq? Because Iraq is Babylonian. It ain't Muslim. Man, Iran is Persian. It's not Muslim.
Yeah.
Egyptian is Egyptian. It's not Muslim. But if you go there today, all you can see is Muslim everything, and they have swallowed up the culture. Okay, they dominate absolutely everything. So what do? The first thing that they do is they come in and then they show how that they are persecuted victims, and then people start feeling sorry for them, and they activate the liberals. That's what they do. Then they start running for government. That's what they start doing. Then as soon as they get in government, they start showing up on the streets, sticking their butt up in the air. And then they also start going to public parts, and they start showing up in schools, and they start dominating the space. That's what they start doing. They start telling everybody, you have to eat halal. We're being excluded unless you provide halal for us.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, brother, I got a big fat piece of bacon for you is what I have for you. And you can kiss my grits. Welcome to Texas. All right. Outside of that, then what they do is, they start taking over because now they have people in office. Now they have judges that are Muslims. Now they have people that are enforcing. They are actually given the policy of the laws, and now they are actually enforcing the laws. And then you're in bad trouble because then what they do is they go and they rape 250,000 white girls in England, and nobody does anything about it. Nobody says anything about it.
That's crazy.
That whole story is
King
so insane.
Jesus. And everybody's like, it's just part of inclusion. It's part of us learning to live with them.
No.
We probably did something we shouldn't. No. And it's that leadership that should be hanged. It's that leadership that should be hanged on the courthouse steps. They're such traitors to their people, to their nation, to their culture, to their own borders, to their own history, because there's a little bit of money in it for them. There's money and power in it for them. Mm. Those are the most despicable. Those people are right up there with pedophiles for me. And I'm like, my goodness. Now that I've said that, once they do that, once they have that in place and they know they can get away with it, they turn on the Jews. And that's the first group of people that they turn on. After they have turned on people, how dare you fly kite in a park? We will attack you for that. Hey, how dare you try and drive peacefully with your family down the street? Hey, how dare you walk down the road and be a pretty girl? We will harass you. It's going to get ugly. We're going to get you. After they do that, they literally turn on the Jews and they start going after the extermination of the Jews. After they get done with the Jews, they turn on the Christians and they go after the extermination of the Christians. When they're finally done with the Christians, and this is exactly how they took over Iran. And there was a peanut by the name of Jimmy Carter that helped them do all this, by the way, and his liberal policies. This 47 years of Islamic terror in Iran is a responsibility of the Democratic Party. They're the ones that actually did this, okay? This all falls upon Jimmy Carter. And so he allowed all that mess to happen. And then let me tell you what they do. Then they turn on the liberals. And since the liberals have homosexuals among them, they throw them off the tops of buildings. Yep. They put bags on their heads. They throw them off the tops of buildings. Since the liberals have educators among them, they turn up on the educators because they will not allow their people to be educated. They will not. And they murder those people. The last step is to murder the liberals. Mm-hmm. And these useful idiots, as they
useful
call
idiots,
them,
yeah.
are among us. And they don't see it because they don't have the spirit of truth. I have the spirit of truth. You have the spirit of truth. Don't be afraid to voice this, and don't be afraid to stand against it.
Wow. Oh, good. I know.
It's real, man.
It's just so interesting. We are truly living in a time where they call evil good and good evil. And we're seeing it, as you said, play out in the UK. And I see Deborah on here. She's saying the woke Church of England is part of the problem. We've got a lot of people, a lot of people that are watching from the UK, and let us know what you're seeing, what it's like there. Because we see the footage, we see the videos, we hear the crazy stories.
No disrespect to my friends in England. I've been to England more than 40 times. I love England. I have been all over it, man. I'm talking about from one end of it to the other end of it. I have preached in little bitty tiny churches and in great big churches all over there. And I have many, many, many English friends. I want to tell you, the very first time that I ever went to England, which was in 2001, I went to England and I turn on the telly, as you guys would say, and there is the head of the Church of England, Prince Charles, and he literally is apologizing to all of the Muslims for the atrocities that Christians have done against them. Okay, I want to just, and I was like, this guy's the head of the Church of England.
What?
What's he doing? And that dude, he's gone way past that. He actually goes to mosque now and he bows down.
Wow.
You know, he doesn't speak on Resurrection Day, but speaks on Muslim holidays. The brother is a devil. Just going to just tell you that. Now that I've said that, talking about the atrocities of the Crusades, and I want to throw this out there, and I want to tell you, was there atrocities in the Crusades? Oh, you bet there was. Now, I want to just say, why did the Crusades happen? Does anybody know why the Crusades happened? Because the Muslims were taking over the entire world, and people got sick of it. And then the Muslims documented how horrible it was when people stood up against them and said, you can't have this land. Okay, now let me tell you who the innocents were in the midst of all that. Wow. At the same exact time while all that was going on, there was Jewish people that had nothing to do with anything to do with that, and the Crusaders would tend to wipe them out and mop them up the same as they did with the Muslim invaders. And they had nothing to do with it. They weren't friends with the Muslims. They were just looking for a safe place to live. Yeah, in the fog of war and in the persecution of the church against the Jews, that is absolutely true. But I'm also going to say this. That is what happens in an environment of warfare that was thrust upon you by the Muslims. And I'm not ashamed of the Crusaders as far as how they stood up against Muslim, because we would all be eating some horrible lamb or some crap that they would be trying to feed us right now. And we would all be speaking whatever gibberish that they speak instead of having a really cool Texas accent. And so study it. Study it and know that that is the truth. And find out, why did the Crusades happen? And what were they doing? What was the agenda of the Muslims? And why were they in? Why were they in France? What were they doing in France? What were they doing in Italy? What were they doing in all? They were taking over the world. And it took a bunch of Christians to get together and to say, not on our watch.
Yeah.
A little bit of history lesson for you that you're probably not going to hear from your liberal school teacher.
Correct.
Amen. Mm. All right.
So good.
Well, we're going to go behind the veil. Mm-hmm. And whenever we do go behind the veil,
I think a couple questions we can answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do we got? What's a couple questions?
His in Glory was asking, do we become martyrs or do we become crusaders? And let's see, what's the other one? Do you think this I guess was kind of along the lines of that mm-hmm. question from the same person. Do you think the body will finally be overtaken and killed as martyrs? I guess it's yeah. yeah. Thinking
I want to answer all times. That.
Yeah.
Let's yeah. Those are
great questions. Mm-hmm. I want to answer that right now, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And
yeah.
I'm
let's
answer
go behind,
that
the
behind the veil. So all of you guys that are watching at ODX.TV, just stay right where you are, right? There'll be a short break, and you'll just see this screen will come up, and then all of a sudden we'll come back on live as we shut down all of our social media all over the place. And whenever we shut down all of our media, I will join you. Now, we have thousands of people who actually partner with us at Stage 2 and Stage 3 level to help us rescue kids. And I don't know if you guys have picked this up or not, but I'm in no mood for anybody's bull today.
Mm-hmm. So bring it on. That's what I
just got back from Washington, D.C., and I am fired up. And I'm like, I want to speak the truth. I want to declare the truth. I want to show what's real, and I want to get some very real answers for it. I know that Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you a little bit about how I'm going to answer that. Number one, Jesus has called all of us to be martyrs. He's called us all to lay down our lives for his sake. And that's you, woke pastor. And that's you. That's you, you feminist teacher. That's you. He's called us all to lay down our lives for his sake. Now that I've said that, he's also called us to be bad motor scooters in the kingdom and to stand up and to be leaders and to make a tremendous difference. So I'm going to answer that quite effectively, I would imagine, behind the veil.
Yes.
All right. So take us out.
All right. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you're watching on social media, as Pastor Troy said, we're going to go behind the veil. We're going to continue the conversation. So please join us there at ODX.TV as a Stage 2 or Stage 3 member. We will also be back here, same time, same place tomorrow, guys. So you are not going to want to miss it. We'll be back. Pastor Troy is here in town. He's not traveling for the next couple weeks. And so it's going to be a great show tomorrow. So make sure you join us there. And if you're going to be behind the veil, guys, we'll see you on the other side.
I got to tell everybody as well, I'm going to be in Lubbock, Texas on Saturday with Amy Seaver.
Yes.
And she's having her big conference out there, and I'm going to be out there this week.
Yes.
And then on Sunday after church, so I'm going to be here at Open Door Church on Sunday. I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas for the premiere of Remember the Alamo, Don't Sharia My Texas. And it's a new movie I'm in. It's a documentary.
It's going
to
be good.
And it has a history of the Alamo, and it has a history of Islam and how the two are about to collide.
Wow.
And so come out, man, and see that and support that. And look it up, rememberthealamomovie.com. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you on the other side behind the veil. Get your questions ready. Get them queued up. Start commenting them if you're on ODX right now. And we will get to them in just a minute. We'll see you on the other side.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.